Amen. Amen. All right, church, grab a seat and grab a Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans. We'll be in chapter 15 here this morning. If you do not own a Bible, there should be a hardback black one somewhere in a seat in front of you. That is a gift for you. If you do not own a Bible, please take that home with you and be blessed by that. As I was preparing for this message here this week, I cannot help but think about how we all in this room have received gifts that have just led us to talking about them to everyone that we know. Now, to the young people in the room here, I'm aging myself a little bit here, but I remember when the Nintendo 64 first came out, life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. Best game system of all time. Smash Bros., Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, the OG versions. And I remember just going all over the place and telling all my friends, man, I can dominate you in this game. Man, this game is so amazing. GoldenEye, all of that. Or it could be an intentional gift that you received from someone you love, like your spouse. Right? And you cannot help but talk about and rejoice over how good that gift was for me. The most recent gift that I got that I was oddly telling everyone about was the orthotics that I wear here and now for my feet. Man, Fleet Feet is absolutely elite, and my dogs are no longer barking. So, but whatever gift it may be, right, we can all resonate with a gift that we cannot stop talking about. As we look inside of this text here this morning, we see Paul communicate about his mission, which comes from a gift that he received from the Holy Spirit, this gospel message and this gift that he wants to share with the Gentiles. And we see him not being able to contain it. So as we navigate this text today, we are going to hopefully be reignited to share the best gift that everyone in this room has ever received, and that being the gospel. Amen. And so I have, and the elders have, a vision to see streets become discipleship groups and to see neighborhoods become churches. And this can only happen if we evangelize, if we witness, if we share this wonderful news that we have in the gospel. And that would just be incredible to see churches planted all over the South Side of Bible-believing Christian. There is a need for witness of the saints of this church body, and at the least for us in this room, at the least that people would know where you stand in your faith. I think one of the things that have flooded the Christian culture of the West is that we assume that if we're a good person, people would know that we have faith in Jesus. But honestly, there's a lot of unbelievers who are headed straight towards hell who are much nicer than any of us in this room. And so let's not get that confused here. That there is a reality that people need to know exactly where we stand in our faith, and that at the least, we would begin with that. Today, we will break this text down into two sections, so structurally. So the first question that we will answer this morning is, why witness? Okay, so why are we called to witness? And we will look at Paul and see how he went about that, and that will inform us on why we should witness. And then secondly, we will talk about the how. Right, how should we go about this thing called witness? We know that this is an important thing for us to take part in, that God has called us to this, and so we want to make sure that we are honoring and obeying the Lord in this. Today, we begin a new section in the book of Romans, so we're currently in part two, gospel living, and we're coming out of the gospel and conscience, now leading us to the gospel and mission, and we know in our conscience that this is something most likely that we could probably do a bit better at. And so today I'm excited to begin this section in light of the gospel and mission. Our overall focus today simply is this, that we witness to the glory of God so the lost can experience our glorious God. We have such a wonderful, beautiful, sovereign, good God that we must share, that people need to know about, because it is for his glory and for our good. And so may we be about sharing this good news. We have the best news ever. We should live like it and love the people through the gospel. So my heart today is to encourage you, not to beat you down today. The Holy Spirit will convict you where he needs to in that. But the heart, the goal is for us to be reignited to get after it for the Lord. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me. We're going to read Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Let's pray. Father, you are too good to us, and we thank you, Lord, for mornings like this, where you just bring us your word, and we get to talk about how good you are, but then, Lord, what you've called us to. God, thank you for the example that you laid out for us in this text. Lord, thank you for Paul. Thank you for his ministry to the Gentiles. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us glean from this. God, may you be glorified. Get us out of the way. Get me out of the way. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. The first thing that I want to answer is why witness? Okay, why are we called to do this? Why should we go about witnessing? The first thing that we see here, coming from verses 15 and 16, is that we have been given grace by God to do this. Listen or turn or look at verses 15 and 16 with me. But on some points, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So why witness? Because we have been given grace by God to do this. Now, for Paul, we will get to the specifics of his ministry to the Gentiles here a little bit later, but he talks about this grace. He's been given this grace by God. So what is this grace? This grace is this responsibility, essentially this stewardship, this ownership to go and witness, to go and share the gospel. God has given Paul this great grace through stewardship of the Gentiles to be a minister of Christ to them. That's a big deal. That's a big responsibility given to him by God to help people meet Jesus. For us, we have to understand that we have been given great grace by God to exercise this element of witness, to exercise evangelism that has come straight from the mouth of the Lord. And I fear that we will look back on our lives through apathy, through laziness, through fear, and regret not leaning into this stewardship in the way in which God has called us to. Right? How many times will we wonder what they will think? Or how many times will we look back and wish, man, I wish I would have just talked to that person because that could have made an impact. So lean into and trust God for this great grace that he has entrusted to us. Now, some of you may be saying, I have not tangibly heard the voice of the Lord, but that's why this book is so beautiful. This is the voice of the Lord. And so we see Jesus. He dies on the cross. He rose from the grave. Then he went around interacting with people he loved. And then we get to Matthew 28. And this is the call in which he has called us to. This is our moment where we have received the great grace to go and witness. Matthew 28, it'll be here on the screen. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So Matthew 28 was meant for the message of the gospel to multiply. And Jesus was so good with this. He knew that as he initially spoke this to the people standing before him, that it would multiply its way to 2024 to your ears for you to be obedient and to go and witness. So this eliminates the whole professional Christian, us who stand on this stage to only share the gospel. And this applies to all of us in this room to be active in witness and evangelizing and sharing Christ with people. Well, God is so good with that. So for us, don't run from the stewardship. God knows that us sitting in this is so good. He knows that this is good for us. I'm so grateful that I did not run from the call to be a pastor, because I am a pastor who did not want to be a pastor. For so long, I fought it. Even my high school teacher was telling me, "Hey, you should consider that." It's like, I'm good. I wanted to worship on Sundays and go find me a biscuit and coffee after church. I did not desire to be preaching or discipling or any of that. But I will say, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I took on the stewardship that God called me to, because this is the best place that I can be. Wherever God calls us is the best place where we can be. And what we do know from the Word of God is that God has called us all in here to engage in the elements of witness. It's the best place where we can be. Lean into that. God has great blessing for our hearts in that. And if I can pastor, you can witness. Amen. So why witness? Because we have been given this great grace by God to do this. But then secondly, which is very obvious, so that the lost may be sanctified. Paul had a heart for the lost. He desired for the lost to be sanctified. Verse 16, Paul says that he is to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So now we get into this Gentile context a little bit. Paul is communicating here. He's making a case for his ministry to the Gentiles. We see Paul's initial call back in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And here it is on the screen. "But the Lord said to him," which is Ananias. So Ananias was called to go and communicate this to Paul. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.'" So this is Paul's call, and the church is to know about this call. Now, while this church was mainly Gentile, it was made up of both Jewish and Gentile people, and he wanted to highlight his call to the Gentiles. And we also see verbiage in here that can resonate with the Jews. Paul says, "I've been given this priestly duty, this priestly service." Now, it's important for us to know that Paul wasn't a literal priest, but this is more figurative. He acts like a priest, offering sacrifices to God by pointing Gentiles, or putting Gentiles in front of God for the Holy Spirit, for God, for Jesus to sanctify. Paul calls this acceptable. This is acceptable to God, putting these people as saved in front of God, the Holy Spirit doing the saving. So we have to understand that people are only acceptable to God, transformed, changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Similar to Paul, we have been called to a specific ministry, and that is to be reconcilers for people back to God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19 tells us our priestly duty. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we don't do the saving, we do the presenting. The Holy Spirit does. He does all of that. He saves souls. So take the pressure off yourself. Just be obedient. God will do the work. You just communicate and just be present. Amen? So we witness to the glory of God, so the lost can experience our glorious God. So we witness so that the lost may be sanctified. And then thirdly, so that we may glorify God. That's why we witness. Why witness? So that we may glorify God. I love verse 17. Because it's all about the Lord. Verse 17. In Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of my work for God. So Paul's perspective here, he's talking about in Christ Jesus. This is the source of where his ministry and success comes from. In Christ Jesus, then he goes into, then I have reason to be proud of my work, yes, but for who? For God. So what I love about this is that his work, he talks about his work that he's proud of, is engulfed between in Christ Jesus and for God. So all things, this text points to all things for the glory of Christ. He's boasting in Jesus. He understands where his strength comes from. He's essentially saying all glory to God. Let's not be people who say it but don't mean it. Glory to God, but really glory to myself. Sin confession for me, my prayer of 2023 and one of my big confessions through 2023 was like, man, I have a desire in my heart to be a glory thief. As you're doing all this hard work, right? And God's doing amazing things. It's like, you know, it's hard for you not to desire some of that praise. And I'm so thankful for accountability. Guys, pride is a beast. All of us in here are susceptible to that. And if you don't have accountability, like, you're walking a very dangerous water. I would encourage you to get somebody in your life, people in your life that you can confess sin to. Stop playing with sin, man. It will destroy you. It may look cute and fancy over here, but man, it is coming to, Satan hates you. You know that, right? He hates you. Don't play with it. Confess the sin. Do not let pride creep in. It is meant to destroy. And so, pride is a beast. Let's work hard. Let's confess sin so that glory can go to who glory is due, because all that we do is between or engulfed in Christ Jesus and for God. Saving Private Ryan is one of my favorite war movies. That's such a terrible segue into this, but hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Obviously, kids, you cannot watch this, and some of you parents, you probably shouldn't either. It's pretty gory, but this is probably my favorite war movie, but this movie encapsulates essentially all that we see in this section. Essentially the goal is to find this man, Private Ryan, whose brothers died in combat. And don't get mad at me if I'm spoiling it, because it's been out for 20 years, so that's on you, brother. But the goal was to find him. So they went through all this chaos, all this war, losing men, and they finally find Ryan. And he doesn't want to leave. Now, I don't know about you, but if I go through all that to find this brother who says, I'm not going, I might kill him. Just saying. I mean, hey, it's confession time, right? It's more sin confession for me to you. But he wanted, so Ryan wanted to stay and engage in this difficult task. Why? Because he wanted to hold on to this stewardship, which was his duty. He wanted to make sure that his fellow soldiers were safe, saved. He wanted to make sure that he brought glory to his country. I love that. We witness because we engage in this difficult task because we have been given this grace, this stewardship. We want to see people saved, and we want to bring glory to our Savior, to God. So that is why we witness for those things. So now we know why we should. But according to Paul's ministry with the Gentiles, there's a bit more that we can pull from Paul in light of how do we go about this. So now we want to look at how should we witness, verses 18 through 21. And the first thing that we see coming from verse 18 is simply through proclaiming the word. How should we witness? Through proclaiming the word. Verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. So what we see here is that Christ was the actual worker. Paul was the instrument. Paul's job was to bring the Gentiles to obedience through salvation in Christ. Paul was a man of the word, and he preached the word so that the lost could be saved, aka evangelism, his personal evangelism. and for us in this room, for us to know the word of God so that we can preach the word of God. Guys, like, I think one of the things that is most challenging to hear is people who have been in the faith for 10, 15, 20 years, and you're still drinking from a baby's bottle in light of spiritual milk, and you have yet to taste of the feast that this thing holds. We have so many excuses as to why we just can't lean in. Man, just lean in. Oh my, like, God's like, this is for our benefit. And God calls us to continue to grow. And how can we preach something that we don't know? We must know the word, lean in to what God calls us to in light of this so that we can preach the word. This is loving for others. You growing in the word is loving for others. Let's love the lost because we witness to the glory of God so the lost can experience our glorious God. And let's keep the main thing as we even engage in the word, as we go out to preach the word, let's keep the main thing, right? Jesus is Savior. Jesus is what we want to preach. Jesus saved all of us from our sins. He's so good to stand in front of us before God and take the pain of our sin for us so that we can have eternal life with God. And so may we go out and preach the gospel. So as Paul preached, Christ worked. As Paul accomplished deeds, it was Christ working through him, which leads us to our second thing in light of how we should witness, and that is through our lifestyle. We should witness through our lifestyle, which, by the way, is encompassed with through word. Verse 18, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonder. So Paul was a man who dwelt with people. Paul was a man who had relationships with the lost. He made disciples of the lost and gave everything for the lost, including time, treasures, and talents, which is extremely difficult to do. And he was also a man who performed many signs and wonders, or may we call them mighty works. Right? These are things that the Spirit of God performed through Paul for the purpose of the gospel, so that people could be led to Jesus. Does our lifestyle mimic Paul's in such a way that we are willing to give up time, treasure, and talents for the sake of the gospel, especially time for us in this room? Us Westerners, we love our time. And I want to acknowledge it's hard. There's hard soil out there. And it's, but God calls us to this obedience, to this love. Here at Redeemer, we have a principle under each W. And our witness principle is that witness is the obedient love, the obedient love. Right? Christ calls us to obedience, not to results, to obedience. Love to those in my community, so where I work, where I live, and where I play, by consistently serving and sharing the gospel. Paul was consistent in doing all these things and being obedient and loving in his communities by consistently serving and sharing the gospel. We evaluate ourselves in light of this. And specifically, I want to hit on one thing. I think a mighty work for us today in the Western world would be the realm of hospitality. I think that's a lost art, and specifically biblical hospitality. Now, some of you may say, well, I do host my friends often, and I host my family on a consistent basis. And to go even further, I host my discipleship group. But there's an element of biblical hospitality that is about hosting the stranger. And again, very challenging, very hard. One of the ways in which God taught my wife and I in light of hosting the stranger that really blessed us. So several years ago, when we first got married, we moved into our apartment and we just decided to meet all of our neighbors, around us, or we tried to at least, but only one answered. And it was an older lady with a 5-year-old daughter. And so they decided to come to our apartment. And, God has just done something in light of like the dinner table that expedites ministry. And so it was around that dinner table where we just asked some basic questions that led to tears flung from her eyes, her giving us her whole life story that led to gospel conversation, that led to church conversation, that led to her joining us at church, and then her coming to church on her own until she decided to leave the area. But this text for us, God really ministered to my wife and I's heart through this text, and she simply said, "Corey, thank you, Bree, thank you for bringing me back to God." And all that happened because of a simple invite and having our doors open for hospitality. Guys, we said nothing magical. I'm spitting out food all over the place. I'm trying to talk. I mean, I'm slobbering on myself. Like, we did nothing magical. You know, if anything, we hindered the process. God's the one that did the work. God's the one that does it. And all we have to do is be obedient, man. All we have to do is be obedient through our lifestyle. God will do it. And so may we break from our Western mindset of privacy and have our homes open to the lost or to the deep church or to whoever, so that streets can become discipleship groups and neighborhoods can become churches. Be a light. And so we witness through our lifestyle, but then also through reliance on the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. By the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So we already talked about the power of signs and wonders, but it's important for us to understand that all of this happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit, period. Paul was a Spirit-filled man. And Galatians 5 talks about, Paul actually talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. It's important that we keep in step with the Spirit. And we see it all throughout Scripture, people being fueled by keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Even in Acts chapter 3 through 5, you see Peter and John, they're going into the temple at the hour of prayer. They engage this lame beggar. They heal him. This causes an uproar all in their community, to the point to where it got to the religious leaders and officials. People are being saved and changed, and so they bring Peter and John before their religious officials, and they say, "By what power are you doing this?" They say, "Jesus." They say, well, you are not to speak of this." They say, "I'm sorry, brother, but I cannot help but speak of what I have seen and what I have heard." And they go out, and what I love, their next stop is with the other disciples, and they stop and they pray for boldness and opportunity. AKA the power of the Holy Spirit come before us, because we don't have the strength to do this, but you do. And the ministry continued to happen. We as believers, from the days of Acts, the days of the Gospels, until now, are fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we witness through reliance on the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, through church planting and evangelism. This comes from verse 19 as well. Again, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. So many people hadn't heard the gospel at this point, but Paul planted churches. Paul was an apostolic person. He planted churches in key areas so that the gospel could then go from there and out. And so he trusted in his co-workers and his co-laborers as he planted churches for the church body to go out and evangelize communities so that the lost may be saved through his church planting and through the evangelism of the people in the church. That's where you come into play. And when we talk about we are a church planting church, we are serious about being a church planting church. Even on Thursday night, such a fun conversation to have as a group of elders. But we talked about, man, where may God be leading us to plant? We're just having this beautiful conversation of missional movement and us being reminded that, hey, no one in this room is safe. You're physically safe. But what I mean is, like, as God calls you, you need to go. Right? No one has handcuffs on you. We have a church plant in Perry Township that, and man, the Spirit of God may be telling you to go. Go. Like, let's not grow comfortable in our seats in this very beautiful facility. Let's be about the mission of God over our own comfort. Right? We have a church in Franklin Township that some of you live around that God has been calling you to for years. Let's not sit in disobedience, but in obedience, and allow for him to work through you. You won't regret it. Right, that stewardship piece. You'll never regret the stewardship that God has given you. And so as we plant churches, because we will as a church body continue to plant more churches, as we plant churches in key central areas in Greenwood, Indiana, man, we expect for people to go and the gospel to go out through the people of God. And so we witness through church planting and evangelism. And then fifth, through engaging the unreached. Verses 20 and 21. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So Paul had a heart to witness. He had a heart to witness, to not just those who may have heard but not accepted Christ, but those who have never heard, to the unreached, so that they can experience a glorious God. And I love that Paul desired to be efficient as well. He wanted to be efficient. He didn't want to combat and work against other churches. He wanted to link arms with a collective of people so that the mission can go forth. He wanted to expedite the work. God has uniquely placed the nations in this city and even on the south side. We have tons of people who are obviously not from here who are in need of the gospel, who may have never even heard of Jesus. But also, let's not think that those people are foreign to our land. Like, there's a lot of Americans who are growing in that unreached category, which means that they've never heard Jesus. Even a few years back, myself and the college guy at that time, we took some middle school, some high school, and a couple of college students out to downtown Indy to share the gospel. And man, the things that we heard, the choice of choosing Greek and Roman gods over Jesus as Lord and Savior, like the things that people thought, and even some of the other false doctrines that were being preached, we ought not be surprised that there's an unreached population in this city. There's a need for churches to be planted in key central areas, and there's a need for evangelism of the people of God to go out because we love them. We want to see them come to put faith in Jesus. And this is also why we as a church don't want to build on other people's foundations, but we want to link arms with other churches to plant more churches to reach the unreached. So how do we go about this? How should we witness? Through proclaiming the word, through our lifestyle, through reliance on the Holy Spirit, through church planting and evangelism, through engaging the unreached. And so one person I think about in light of all five of these things who did this so well is our partners at FAM, and specifically the leader of that organization. His name is Kevin Phillips, and I think some of you may have engaged with him at our witness equipping several years back on the Punjab community. So Kevin Phillips, so years ago, he was called to move his family to Dubai. This is an Arkansas boy, okay? So I don't know if you know this, but Arkansas and Dubai, very different. And so they literally gave away everything that they had. They gave away, their girls gave away all their toys, their new dollhouses. They gave away their cars. They sold their house, all this stuff to move their family to Dubai. And through word and deed, they saw lost souls saved and leaders raised up. So I know Dubai is known to be a very fancy and beautiful place, but where Kevin Phillips and his family chose to do their ministry was in an area called the labor camps, which is where all of the people from India and Pakistan and other places come to earn money for their families and then go home and provide for their families. And so he was in this really tough part of the city. And so through word and deed, they saw lost souls saved. By the Spirit's power, great ministry was done in the labor camps. And through church planting and evangelism, the movement was so hot and so fast that Kevin Phillips is no longer allowed in Dubai. This man is a criminal for Jesus. How amazing is that? His spread of the gospel was so hot that they had to kick him out. But it doesn't stop there because the multiplication is still going on through the ministry that he did there. And so we witness to the glory of God so the lost can experience our glorious God. And it's in light of us being changed by this that we can do things like communion here this morning. And so we are going to go into a time of communion that is a remembrance of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body. And the Bible tells us not to partake in this time in an unworthy manner, but to examine ourselves. This is a time for those in here who call Jesus Lord. So if you do not profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is not a time for you, but please feel free to sit and observe. But this is a time for those of you who confess Christ as Lord to take time to confess of what needs to be confessed, take time to repent of what needs to be repented of, and then we will take the elements here in a second. So please take time and do that now, and then we'll take the elements here in a minute or two.